Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's 30th season of Shanghai in Astoria. There's only this weekend and next weekend left for that classic. And then the return of Topsy Turvy Shanghai on September 19th, a one-night-only show. Information and tickets available now by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AstorStreetOperyCompany.com. And check with your local bars and coffee shops and get yourself a Miss Vivian or Miss Virginia button and help support another one of these wonderful local cultural venues. Well, we got a full show, and it just became fuller because my good friend Sterling my good friend Sagittarian Sterling just bopped in here with some new information. So I'm going to start out with some music from Wes Warmond, because the Wes Warmond Trio, featuring Jonathan Tate on drums and Sterling Gorsuch on bass, will be back at it with their unique fusion of samba rhythms, world music, and improvisational jazz. And that is 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, September 11th at the Cannon Beach Gallery. And that very same gallery has a show opening this Saturday night called Feathers with Carol Riley, fabulous painter. Carol Riley and wonderful photographer and naturalist Neil Main. That's from 5 to 7 on Saturday. Have a listen, enjoy, and despite the fabulous sunshine, get out there and do the arts. Well, you're listening to music by Wes Warmond Trio. And again, they will be playing at the Cannon Beach Art Gallery on September 11th. That's this coming Thursday. With Jonathan Tate on drums, Sterling Gorsuch on bass, and of course Wes Warmond on guitar. And I have to say, anything Wes Warmond does is okay by me. He's a master player, and it should be a fabulous trio. Okay, well, oh, I better take it down, otherwise I'll go off into another world. But actually, it's quite relevant, because this piece was chosen by Sterling, and it's called South Wind. Now, he had no idea who my first guest was going to be, but my first guest is Marga Stanley. Hi, Marga.
Hi, breezy Marga Stanley.
Breezy and windy, too.
Yes.
Now, do you go by three names or two?
My name, my mother gave me a name called Marga Ray. It's hyphened. Ah. And during my childhood, no one could spell it, including my father. So I dumped the Ray, and then I just went by Marga.
Okay, because I saw it written, and I couldn't figure it out either. I saw it as R-H-A-E in one place, R-H-E-A in another place.
See, nobody can spell it. I can spell it, but I think I'm the only one.
So we're going to stick with Marga Stanley.
We'll do Marga,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted you to hear Marga's voice a little bit more, because for those of you regular listeners on Coast Community Radio, you will recognize Marga's voice in one of her other lives as Marga's World. Which is, how many times a month do you do that? Every other Thursday evening. Marga is the bedtime story reader here from 8 to 8:30. And as I was telling her last night, when I turned the radio on, the show was already on, and I had no idea to whom I was listening, because she was using so many different voices for the story, and it's just delightful. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to coastradio.org. Check out our schedule and realize that five nights a week, we have bedtime stories for kids of all ages. And that is maybe not unique in the world, but it's pretty close to it.
It's fun.
And it's a different reader each time.
Yes, everybody puts a different spin on the story.
Absolutely.
So it's really wonderful.
Absolutely. But Marg is here today because she is the featured artist at Tempo Gallery. This is not tomorrow night, but next week, which is our second Saturday art walk in Astoria, where many galleries will be sharing their work, and we'll have some other artists on next week. Tempo Gallery is also known as the Astoria Music Festival offices during that time of the year. It looks like a tiny little place, right?
It is.
From the outside. But then you walk in and it goes
long.
Back and back and back. And then it balloons into a big room there and a smaller room there. So you have Birds of the Weather and Moonshine. A double bird is the word.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to start to sing in a minute. Just a minute. Which is why I was so delighted that the song we played just before
it
was called South Wind.
Good segue.
Whoa.
Yes.
Nice. Organic. I love when that happens. So tell us what the show is about. And also, you've done all kinds of things. Local people have seen your work in many places.
Mm.
The Liberty Theater, many benefits, actually. You've been very generous with your prints.
Mm-hmm.
What is this show about, the bird show?
Well, they're all the birds of the weather are birds that are battling the elements, and they're acrylic on canvas, and they were really, really fun to do. And so there's a lot of movement and expression on their little faces, whether they're cold or battling the wind, or
you can feel it,
the sun or something. And then the moonshine ones, it's all moon related, and the moon is shining down somehow, and you just have to come to the show to see the rest.
Well, it's interesting because the word whimsical is often connected with your work, and yet the work is very there's a lot of substance there. It's not just line drawings on them. But I have seen a couple of the Birds of the Weather, and I, without being told anything, I found myself moving because they are alive.
Oh, good.
So
that's what I want you to feel. So I'm glad I've...
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Tell people right now your website, because if you want to, because...
It's brand new.
Oh, that's why I've never seen
yes.
it before. Okay.
Yeah, and it's called artbymarga.com, and it gives a better description of my range of work, because I do go
right.
from one end to the other.
And so. That's... I wanted to give us a little bit of background on you as an artist,
mm-hmm.
and also as a human being, of course, you know, with or without a middle name.
Yes.
You don't have to go back that far, but what's the story?
Well, I've never had any formal training, so I guess really kind of hit the art and the paintbrush in the Caribbean. We lived in the Caribbean for a couple of years, and I did form an art festival with another woman in the Caribbean, which still goes on, and it's we
nice.
Started it with about 20, I think there was about 20 artists, and they were doing silk painting and ceramics and everything. It was a really, really accomplished bunch of artists. And
were you making art at that point?
Uh-huh,
yeah. Okay, so your art was part of it.
I had done a huge 5-foot paper mache lady out of... paper and wire and everything, and plus some other things. And then
that's better for the Caribbean, where it doesn't rain as much.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Well, that, and a fellow bought it from Florida, so we had to make this little coffin type crate thing and put her in it. But so that continued on, and then we moved to the States, my husband and I, and that's where I met my sweet husband. And just kind of dibbled and dabbled, and most of it was in my basement in my studio. And then when I was one of the founding members at Tempo, I was exposed to a lot of other, I knew about all the other art that was out there, but I was exposed to more of it on a one-to-one mm-hmm. level. And it was really, really helpful for me to kind of branch out of what I was doing, which was all the very young at heart, whimsical stuff, which I still, you know, I still do it, but it's, I kind of moved a little bit over to a little more serious. I'm not like, I'll never be serious, because it's not in my
it's just
nature.
Not your thing. well, it's interesting, though, what you said, that because of your involvement with Tempo,
mm-hmm.
which is a collective gallery,
yes.
That you found yourself mm-hmm. learning and growing
yep.
and moving.
It's been wonderful.
So I find that interesting, because a lot of artists feel the need to work alone, completely alone. And yet those who end up touching others
right.
often find...
I'm like
in a non-academic way.
Exactly.
But just,
I'm like a little sponge. So if I can see something that someone's doing or just little techniques or just how they've kind of spread their wings on certain things, it gives me a little more courage to do that as well. And it's also, I think it's important to get feedback, you know.
Mm.
And when you're down in your own little studio and you're never getting any feedback,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking you're on the right track, or and you know there I don't think there is a right or wrong track, but it's just, you know, it is nice to kind of. And I also draw every other Thursdays with some accomplished artists in the city as well, so I'm
in Astoria.
Yes, I feel really blessed that I'm in, you know, some groups that are very creative.
Do you think it helps that this is a small town with a lot of creative people?
Yes, I think it's wonderful. I really do. I don't know that you would have this same kind of sharing of everything.
Mm-hmm. Camaraderie.
And, yeah.
It's we find one another.
We do.
Also, which often doesn't happen in a big city.
And we're a lot more helpful. Then, you know, it's, I mean, because...
Right, as opposed to being competitive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is some kind of competitive edge, which I think is healthy, but it's very, there's a lot of generosity within the art community, which I think is really, really helpful.
Okay, now you tell us again what medium you're using
these new pieces are acrylic on canvas, and
the size?
Oh, they range from, I think there's a 10 by 10 on up to a 20 by 24. Mm-hmm. So, and the before that I was doing gouache, which is an opaque water-based paint, which is fun to work with. And then before that I was doing watercolors. So I'm going to move on to oils, my next step. So it's kind of like scary.
Well, that's funny because some of the artists who have been on here, I am not, for full disclosure, I am as far as it goes from visual art. So I'm learning from everyone who comes in here. But a number of people have said that watercolor is actually the hardest because you can't correct your mistakes.
You can't. So you make the boo-boo, you go with it.
You go with it.
And you can just pretty well figure out a way to go with it. You don't have to.
There's the artist, the creativity, too. So where, how did the paper mache, that was before you were doing it.
Yeah, and that was just kind of, I don't know, I was on the island and I just thought, well, no one's doing this and it would be fun and it was something else I could do besides the painting that I was
doing. How did you know how to do paper mache?
I didn't really know. I was just trying to figure it out as I went, and then some little things, and then I realized, well, that part of that isn't going to work in a big. So then, and then I just read some stuff, and then she turned out really neat and sold her. So what the hey?
That's
she took
great.
Forever to do, but.
Yep. And was that your first artwork?
Well, I'd done some before, but nothing that, you know, I would have really. I mean, I sold stuff before when I lived in Toronto, but it wasn't anything.
Are you from Toronto?
I lived in Toronto for a very long time. Yeah, I'm Canadian, but I'm dual.
It's all right. We'll let you stay anyway. As a matter of fact, we won't let you go.
No.
So that's great. Marga Stanley is my guest. Her show is Bird. Are you really calling it that, or is it just fun to say Bird? Bird. Bird is the word. Bird. Do 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 do
yeah,
do
you
do
can
do.
Call
bird,
that. Bird. That sounds fun.
Okay, and it's a double. Themed Bird of the Weather and Moonshine. Are you serving moonshine?
Yeah. That'll maybe attract more people.
Yeah, there you go. This is part of the Art Walk in Astoria next weekend. That's the 13th. And the galleries all around are open usually 5 until 8. This is Tempo Gallery. Do you have the address offhand?
I do.
Okay, and there's also a touch of melancholy in your work too. So I'm
there is
yeah.
that, but anything? It's not. It's just melancholy. You don't go home with tears and crying. We want to keep you happy. It's 1271 Commercial Street in Astoria.
Okay, 1271.
And if you go by the building, it's you really have to pay attention.
You do. Well, it's right next door to Old Town Framing.
It's
on the west side.
Yeah.
It depends which way you come
so
from.
So don't blink when you're walking around those spots.
It is a tiny entrance and set back a little, but it's not a tiny gallery.
No, it's mighty. Once you get in there, it's mighty.
And these birds are going to fly you away.
Yes.
Hey, Marga, congratulations on
thank
the show.
You, Carol.
And
thank
thanks
you.
For coming in. I'm looking forward to seeing all the rest of your work.
Thank you for all your support.
You bet. Marga Stanley, next weekend. Do stay tuned. I have Marga's the only visual artist, although I do have another visual a couple of other artists coming in, but they're not coming in to promote their shows. I mean, these people, these creative people, that's what I love about having the honor of doing this show, Arts Live and Local, because I get to meet all these fabulously creative people. Got a piece of music for you from a group that is coming to town. You Knew Me When, that's the name of the duo, from Nashville, actually. And they will be playing 3 shows in the area, Thursday night at the Shelburne Inn in Seaview. And then Friday is Vino Manzanita, obviously, Manzanita. And then on Saturday, the 13th, is at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m., and they have an open mic on Fridays. Let's have a listen. Do stay tuned to your Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here, folks. TikTok by You Knew Me When. And again, they are going to be, they're really making the rounds. So Thursday night at the Shelburne in Seaview, Friday night, Vino Manzanita, and Saturday at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach. And thank you to Bill for sending me this CD so that we can get that music to you. And I can't remember anymore. Let's see. It's possible they'll be on Coast Community Radio, too. We're working on that. So, right now, right here on Coast Community Radio, I have a couple of folks from North Tillamook County. I like being all over the place here. And they are from Fire Mountain School, which is an absolutely phenomenal place. One of them you all know, that's Hannah Nebaker. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
And Hannah has been here.
I have.
And been in many places, actually, in this county of ours. Were you actually born in...
I was born in Gearhart.
You were actually...
I was, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are a real local.
I'm a real local.
Holy cow, that's great. And but my other guest is brand new to the area, I think. Am I right?
That's sort of correct. I've been here for a little bit doing spotted owl research and up and down the West Coast working on the ocean with NOAA.
Okay, this is Mike McGlynn, and this is very exciting. First of all, he's all the way from Philadelphia, although so far I haven't heard a Philadelphia accent. I'm listening for him to say the word W-A-T-E-R, then you'll know. And it could come up because it seems, from you just heard it, he's an environmental science person, a biologist, and wow, he's going to bring quite a lot. I'm so glad that Fire Mountain School captured you, because that means you're part of our community. And although you are a radio virgin here at KMUN, you are not a radio virgin in life, because I understand you used to do some radio. Where was that?
I did, at my college out of Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh, you were upstate New York, too.
Yes.
We'll have to talk. My. I went there, too. The school year starts on the 16th. Are you actually having an open house?
We
Another
are.
Open house?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That is going to be next Tuesday, September 9th at 3:30 at Fire Mountain School, of course. And it'll go for a couple of hours, and so people should feel free to drop in. And one really cool thing we have going on is our C program, which is our Summer Enrichment Arts program. Our kids created a lot of artwork there.
So I hear. Now, who was doing that, Hannah?
That was myself and Sarah Lippold.
Yeah.
And we had a great year. It was our third year, and we had a really good time. We created some beautiful things, and we're going to display those at the open house.
So what was the age range for this C program?
Oh, my goodness. This year, we were ages 3 all the way up to 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And what kinds of stuff did you do in the arts? What is the SEA?
Yes.
What does it stand for?
Summer Enrichment Arts.
Right. But yes. Since we're on the sea, you got that in too. Very good. So what kinds of stuff were you doing in that?
So we did some tie-dyeing, a lot of tie-dyeing. And we tie-dyed some canvas, and we tie-dyed some clothes.
Wait a minute. Is this the group that ran over things?
Oh, that was that was the Cannon Beach Arts Association camp, which we incorporate.
You worked on that, too.
Yes,
oh,
we do
Lord.
That, too.
Can you describe that? When I saw the picture of that, I and everybody else was just absolutely delighted. Tell folks what that was.
Well, that I wasn't actually there, but I did see pictures, and that was Sarah Lippold's genius idea, and she does come up with those quite often. And boy, was it exciting, though. I heard about it, and I saw what they created, and it's this giant, beautiful mural.
And these were children?
They were children, yeah. They got to watch her drive over it.
Yes. So they made their art, and then a big truck drove over it and created a print.
That's right.
So this is printmaking, which, by the way, was brought to this, or I should say enhanced in this community, made a lifestyle in this community by a fellow named Royal Nebaker. And yes, there is a relationship between my guest and Royal. So all of the printmaking that you see, we get to credit Royal. But this was beyond anything I've ever seen.
Yes.
A great big truck running over stuff and making a gorgeous piece of art.
Really gorgeous.
Yeah.
And now Sarah has brought a printing press to Fire Mountain.
Oh.
And she has been teaching the kids how to print, and she's going to come and do it at the school during the school year.
Wow.
And we're so lucky. Yeah.
Okay, folks. Now, let me get Hannah to give us a little more about the school and how you can connect with it, and then I want to get into Mike's part of this. So tell
sure.
us about Fire Mountain and what ages and how people, if they're getting inspired by what you're saying. Now, most public schools have started already.
That's true.
But they don't start with three-year-olds, that's for sure.
That's right. They don't. And that's my class starts at age 3 and goes all the way up to 6. And we do kind of a Montessori style combined ages, and it's wonderful for the kids. They have a real sense of community working together. And Fire Mountain School's in its 31st year this
Amazing.
Year. It's really incredible.
Yep.
It's a progressive school that was started by parents who saw the need for it in the community. And it has thrived, and it has created many valedictorians, both locally and afar.
Nice.
It is, really the heart of that community down there. And I do in my class kind of a combination of the disciplines that I have studied, Waldorf, Montessori, and then the French creche philosophy, which is what they use in their preschools there.
Mm.
And, I've kind of fused it together, and that's what goes on in my classroom.
I hear the word creche. That's like the Christmas story I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's the same
kind
word.
Of a, yeah. That sounds very community-oriented,
it is.
Too. So are you looking for more students? Do you have room for more students?
We do. We have room. Okay. My class has maybe 5 or 6. It's still kind of being settled, but we can take up to 10.
Okay.
And Mike's class has room for 4 at the moment.
Okay. And what's the age on your students, Mike?
Well, again, it's competency-based learning, but generally we go through, you know, 2nd or 3rd through 5th or 6th, depending on the age level. And again, it's a mixed classroom, just like Hannah's. I really agree with Hannah when it comes to the sense of community that it really builds, rather than a stratified education system, and just makes wonderful kids ready to go out there in the world.
And what are you going to be presenting to these kids?
Well, I'm going to first and foremost bring back the Nature Awareness Program.
Yeah,
Nature
I
Awareness
read that.
Training. And the NAT program.
What is that?
It originally was a big part of Fire Mountain, from what I understand, and then it kind of took a break for a while. But basically, it's fusing all of the wonderful resources that we have out here in the Pacific Northwest, bringing it to the classroom, be it the indoor classroom or the wonderful outdoor classroom that we have at Fire Mountain, which is right on the coast, right in the old growth forest.
Arch Cape?
Yes, in Arch Cape. And then Oswald West is right there. It's just so wonderful to have that connection to nature, and it's really important to have that at a young age. And in really fun ways, too.
So now, do you end up teaching things like math and English or stuff like that as well, or how does that work?
Absolutely. That's going to be incorporated.
Integrated?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Have you taught school before, or you've obviously done a lot of, I can hear it, the way you talk, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's pretty great. We were lucky to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I taught in Maine with AmeriCorps for 2 years, and I was able to up there teach, it was an environmental awareness program, but it was ages of all levels, and it gave me a really, really good look into what age groups I really like to teach, and this is one of my favorites, and one of the ones I think I can do the best with and bode the best results with. So I'm excited because I get to deal with a lot of exciting kids, and I get to have some really creative, wonderful curriculum, too, that I'm going to be creating.
And what do you think about the family support at Fire Mountain?
That's one thing that's really grabbed me already, with the community and just the sense of community and how willing to, you know, just get to know me and let them know who I am, and that it is a big part of the school. Whereas you don't really see that in very many other traditional educational settings. So.
And you're living in that area, I
presume.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just a little bit south. And I'd also really like to bring back Spanish and use that.
Ooh.
I lived in Ecuador for 4 months and have traveled all around South and Central America, and I think it's just a great thing. And especially
and you
at
speak
that age.
Spanish?
Yes, I speak Spanish. And at that age level, it's really important before the window closes when they get to about 12 to 13, just to get them exposed to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you find this guy?
I lucked out.
Yeah. It's terrific.
It's going to be a great year.
Delighted. Yeah. Yeah. And, I can see a lot of people borrowing you because if you know, I mean, you just talk to Hannah about what her life's like with the Cannon Beach Gallery and this one and that one, people asking you to be on their boards and everything else. Of course, first you'll probably want to focus on the school.
Well, and I think that's going to go both ways for me, too. I'd like to borrow all the resources and bring them into the school as much as I can.
Good. Listen up, folks.
Yay.
This is Fire Mountain School in Arch Cape. How do people, is there a website or what
there
should
is,
people?
There is a website. It's firemountainschool.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there is a phone number.
Yeah.
It's 503-436-2610. And we recently changed our email. And the new email is firemountainschool@gmail.com.
Okay, I'm jotting all this down so I can change it in my book, too. Okay, so again, on the 9th, which is upcoming Tuesday, there will be an open house. What time is the open house?
3:30.
And will people be able to find out exactly where to find you from the website, firemountainschool.org?
Yes, they can. Yes.
Or call.
It's 6505 Elk Flat Road.
Oh, sure. Elk Flat Road. I pass it every day. Ooh, my goodness. It's a great name, though. And, okay, and then school begins on the 16th?
It does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you have your kids, if you have those little ones who aren't in any school, my God, this is a no-brainer. How many days a week do you have
school Tuesday through Friday
Tuesday
from 9 to 3.
Is that all grades?
Yes.
Okay. Tuesday to Friday.
The preschool program is, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 9 to 1.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So best to check in with someone and get the information directly and get out there and meet these folks and check out the school. It's a wonderful place. And thank you so much. And welcome, Mike. We're delighted to have you here.
Thanks for having us, Carol.
Thank you.
Anytime. Anytime, Hannah. Hannah Nebaker and Mike McGlynn from Fire Mountain School. And if you need information, 503-436-2610 or firemountainschool.org. Okay. I'm looking forward to see if I can slip in on one of those NAT programs. That's Nature Awareness Track. The C program is almost over, but if you go to the open house, you can see all the fabulous work that has been done. So, excellent. Okay, got some music for you from Patchy Sanders, which I keep saying Patch Adams, but Patchy Sanders is coming to the Adrift Hotel in Long Beach on the 18th and 19th, and they will be on Coast Community Radio as well, as you are right now. Now, thanks for being here, folks. Speaking of nature, this is Carried by Cider. And that is Patchy Sanders from Ashland at the Adrift Hotel in Long Beach, the 18th and 19th. Okay, well, I have a couple of fabulous folks in here right now, and I'm going to take them one at a time, although you never know around here what might happen, so be ready, folks. Drew Herzik is here to tell us about some very exciting events coming up. One of them is happening actually tomorrow. So welcome, Drew.
Thanks, Carol.
And Walida Imarisha, who's one of my favorite public speakers, is coming back tomorrow. Is that right? Tomorrow.
That's correct.
That
right. Saturday, yes.
Time is just going so fast. But it's at 7 o'clock at the Guy Boyington building. And this is a special one because it's sponsored by Lower Columbia Diversity Project and Rural Organizing Project, two of my favorites. And then that's tomorrow. And then we skip all the way to the next week for the other two events. So tell us a little bit about Walida, and then we'll go on to the next and the next.
Well, Walida is doing her Why Aren't There More Black People in Oregon presentation. As you know, Carol, the Diversity Project hosted her doing this 2 years ago.
Is it 2 years
already? Yes, yeah, in 2012. And we were just floored. The information she has and the interactive approach, it's a great experience. And I hope everybody will come and be part of this. Again, it's on a Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Judge Boynton Building, 857 Commercial. And one of your favorite organizations, the Rural Organizing Project, is they noticed what response Walida was getting. She's been giving this presentation for a couple of years. I think we were one of her first audiences. And it's been extremely exciting to communities. And the Rural Organizing Project said, we got to get her out to some more rural communities.
Right.
So they set up this whirlwind tour that's just happening this week. She's, I think, 5 days, six cities kind of thing.
Right.
And, according to Facebook, it's really going well.
I think she's going to be in Tillamook, too, but I don't have that right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Drew said, she was here 2 years ago, and she blew us all away. She had photographs all around the room, and she herself, she's like a performance artist, isn't she?
Well, because she is.
She's a writer, a poet, she's everything. And dynamic and beautiful and strong and funny. And
not unlike yourself, Carol.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, moving right along. But the other part of this is that she is extremely deeply knowledgeable and excellent communicator. So you have any questions, she'll be glad to talk about them, and she knows of what she speaks. But she also, yeah, she asks the questions and gets people thinking and responding. And I remember everyone in the room was, really? Did that really happen? And people were going around saying, I was in Portland in those. I had no idea, that kind of stuff.
Yes,
so
yes.
Highly recommend it.
And we should mention that this is part of the Oregon Humanities Conversation Project,
right.
Which is how they're also co-sponsoring this.
Right. She's a professor and instructor.
Oh, yes,
She's got all kinds of credentials. And this is tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Guy Boyington Building, 9th and Commercial.
Yes.
Okay, now. Next week, on the 13th, tell us about this.
On the 13th, we're co-sponsoring a film about fracking in Pennsylvania. It's called Triple Divide because this part of Pennsylvania has one of the triple continental divides where the watershed breaks east, north, and south to the Atlantic seaboard into Canada and into the Gulf of Mexico. So this is an incredibly important area, and fracking is going on in the Marcellus Shale. And two documentary filmmakers made this film about it, and they are going to be here with their film. Not only that, but they're driving a Tesla car across the country, and the car will be here too. Pretty thrilling.
That's great. We'll all have an opportunity to check out Tesla. That's the electric car, folks.
Yes, exactly. And this is being co-hosted by the Columbia Pacific Common Sense, as you know, the anti-LNG people, the Oregon Sierra Club, Columbia Riverkeeper. Everybody realizes how much fracking influences the whole continent, basically, and more attention needs to be paid for it. So that's going to be at 4 o'clock at the Columbian Theater. And again, Janine Fairchild has been great as saying this is a concern to all of us, and so she's letting us present the film there.
And that's on 11th and Marine Drive.
Yes, and the doors will open about 3:30, and the film shows at 4, and it's second Saturday, so you see the film, you go to the art walk, perfect.
Hey, that's good. You feel like, and then you go to the art,
right.
And you go, yes!
Yes, yeah, right.
Okay, and when you say it's influencing fracking, and it's denigrating our entire country and the world, so.
Well, and the more fracking that is done, the more there's pressure to put LNG terminals in fragile
It's a vicious
locations.
Cycle
is yes,
what's
is.
Going on
yes,
here.
Is.
And we were one of the first to say no. So that's an editorial comment. Okay, yes, it is.
And are still saying no. But again, people from Columbia Pacific Common Sense, the no LNG people, will be there, and Columbia Riverkeeper. And somebody from the Oregon Sierra Club is also going to be there to speak. So it's going to be quite a discussion.
And the producers, that should be very interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Get it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, so the film is called Triple Divide. People can look it up online and check out the website and get more information.
Great. And that, again, is Saturday the 13th at 4 p.m. You better get these down or check in with us, because everything has a different time, just to keep you, you know, on your feet. And then the next day, you're doing something else. What's that?
Yeah, well, this is a Lower Columbia Diversity Project presentation on Sunday the 14th at 2 p.m. And this is called Voices of Labor, Making a Living in Clatsop County.
Oh, boy.
Yes, exactly. And we just wanted to give an overview of what's going on here. So we've got a really interesting panel. Shauna Sykes from the Oregon Employment Department is going to come and do a quick presentation on the labor situation in Clatsop County, which is still trying to claw its way back from the Great Recession. So that should be, I mean, just the facts alone about what we're up against here. But then we're going to have representatives from the AFL-CIO, from AFSCME, from the United Steelworkers, and Jorge Gutierrez from the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council, because again, the Hispanic employees in Clatsop County are a huge part of our workforce, and they are so underrepresented in the conversation, so we thought it was really important to have them involved here.
Now, anybody is welcome to these, and these
are free.
Absolutely,
yes. Great. Oh, you said the word.
That's right. I told him he couldn't speak about that because yes. We don't give prices, but free is good.
Yes, so. they are all free, and we invite everybody to be part of these, one, two, or three, as many as you can take in, because mm-hmm. they are all absolutely riveting presentations, and they all really affect how we live here in Astoria and Clatsop County.
Yeah, that's terrific. And this is very local. So, Drew, if somebody says, oh, my God, I'm driving in the car, you don't expect me to write this stuff down. No, please, don't write it down while you're driving, although I have been known to do. Oh, is there some place they can get this information?
The Lower Columbia Diversity Project website, which is lcdiversityproject.org, has the two Diversity Project presentations.
That's WLEDA and the Voices of Labor.
Exactly. And then mm-hmm. if they go to Triple Divide, just do a web search on that, they should find about the presentations of the film there, kind of thing. Or check out the Columbian Theater's mm-hmm. website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or just check out KMUN's calendar.
Yeah. And also, if you missed any of this, you can call in right at the end of the show after 4 p.m. and I can give it back to you. So very exciting stuff. Each one of these is just a gem of information. And again, we were talking with the arts about making community. We were talking with Fire Mountain School about community. This is another part of community. So not to mention Coast Community Radio, our middle name. So
yes.
Thank you so much for getting a lot of this together and for sharing it with us here.
It's great to be able to bring these presentations to the community, and thanks for helping us get the word out, Carol.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that like the Columbian Theater, Janine has
yes.
said, yes,
fantastic.
Bring it on, you
yes.
know, instead
yeah.
of having to find, you know, yes. trudge the
yes.
city looking
yes.
for a place.
She is another great community
yeah.
asset.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's how we get along in this big village of ours.
Yes,
so
yes.
Excellent. Okay, anything else we need to know?
That should be enough, but Jennifer has some more information,
oh.
so we'll just don't put away your pencil and notebook yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to. Jennifer can make up anything she would like to about these presentations. Otherwise, she can wait because we're going to hear some of her fabulous music. So thank you so much for
thank you,
sharing
Carol.
That with us, Drew. Okay. And that is, again, tomorrow for WLEDA Imarisha. I can't say enough about her. Even if you didn't care about the subject, you want to see a performance, and it's free. That is tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Guy Boyington Building, 9th and Commercial, brought to you by Lower Columbia Diversity Project and Rural Organizing Project. And then next week on Saturday is Triple Divide at 4 p.m. actually, at the Columbian Theater, 11th and Marine, and on Sunday is Voices of Labor back at the Boyington Building. Okay, now I have some music for you, and then we'll find out we'll find out why you're hearing this music. I'm going to get this on right now. And some of you may actually have heard some of this music before, and we'll tell you why. Thanks for being here, Coast Community Radio, KMUN, KTCB. Thank you. You're listening to the music of Clara Schumann, played by my guest, whose name is not Clara, but those of you who've been
might have been.
Yeah, why didn't your parents? Oh, those of you who've been here for a while might know who that is, and that would be Jennifer Goodenberger. I can't remember the first time I saw you give the presentation about Clara. When did you start doing that?
The very, very first performance I ever gave of her music was in early April in 1991 down at the PAC. And that's where I actually premiered her music.
And
then over
dressed.
The years, and I dressed,
you
but
dressed.
Over the years it evolved. You know, so there was, I was playing different music and sometimes bringing in singers or violinists or whatever. So the music definitely evolved, and I performed it until 97. Her music.
And what, obviously, okay, for those of you who don't know Jennifer, because we weren't streaming back in 1991, and even though Jennifer actually was a programmer here at KMUN, she even put together a book so that people involved in classical music could find what they were looking for.
Right.
Now, what year was that?
That was, it came out in 89.
89, my goodness, time flies, really. And then these performances. So your background originally was in classical?
As a classical musician. And so I became interested in Clara Schumann because a piano teacher I was studying with actually here in Astoria just couldn't say enough about her. And so I became quite interested in her. Nowadays, she's more known as Robert Schumann, the composer Robert Schumann's wife. But in her time, she was the famous one. She's really literally one of the finest pianists who's ever lived.
So one of the things about her is that women were not only not encouraged, but they were almost stuffed in the closet.
Well, she was a different, little bit different case because as a performer, she was expected to compose.
Oh.
So she, especially before she married, she did a lot of composing. Once she married Robert Schumann, though, they had 8 children. He had mental problems from the get-go that she was constantly dealing with, his health issues. They lived in homes without sound privacy, and she couldn't do anything if he was composing, which was all the time, and maybe he would leave the house to go have a beer late afternoon or something, but she had all these children. So it really wasn't until about 10 years into their marriage where they lived in a place where there was sound privacy and she could have her own piano. I mean, she couldn't even practice, and she'd be going out on these concert tours, and she couldn't even practice at home.
So she played before she was married?
Yes, she was a child prodigy.
And did she compose before?
Yes, she did.
As well?
Quite a bit.
And then she basically had to just kind of put it on ice.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Until they had sound privacy. And still, you know, she had all these children. She had a sick husband. She was 36 or 7 when she was widowed. I mean, he committed suicide and tried to commit suicide, was in an insane asylum for 2 years before he died. You know, she has all these children. She's trying to support all the bills. So she's out on the road all the time concertizing. She didn't have a lot of time to compose, but what's remarkable is, especially when you hear the pieces that she wrote after she was married, the maturity of them is just extraordinary. And the fact that maybe she had a couple hours one afternoon to write this down, and as a composer myself, I know it takes a lot of time to compose and to grow your compositional skills. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that she had this much promise with as little opportunity as she had to compose is very remarkable.
So today, do we hear much?
You know, what's interesting is since I'm bringing the CD back out, it's a recording I did in 95. It was released on cassette. I know a lot of people in town had them as cassettes back in the mid-90s.
But now nobody has
cassettes,
and
it's corrupted. You know, the technology is corrupted. So I wanted to archive it, and thought as long as I'm archiving it, I might as well re-release it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what was the question?
Well,
Oh,
does anyone
more.
Else play?
Well, yeah. it's really interesting. I've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, and I've had several different musicians start talking to me about her. When I was doing this back in the 90s, nobody talked about her.
I think we were all surprised, actually,
yeah.
To hear about her, because, as you say, we all knew her husband.
Her husband.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled, you know, young musicians coming up out of college going, oh, yeah, I know all about her. I'm like, yay, she's getting back out there. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah. So when you were doing your gig, mm-hmm. Did you... What makes you choose a particular piece of hers? What speaks to you? How does that...
Affinity, my own personal artistic affinity. She had very large hands. I have very small hands.
Oh.
So things that I had to be a piece that I could make work for me.
Interesting.
A lot of her earlier work I don't play because during that period of time of the 1830s or so, the music was quite virtuosic and just a lot of fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Not terribly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more interested in music that she wrote after she, basically between the age of about 20, when she was about 25. She knew Chopin, she knew Liszt, she knew Mendelssohn. They were all friends. They knew each other, and of course her husband, Robert. So that's the style she's writing in, although it's really her take on it. And I know she and her husband befriended Brahms at one point. That's a whole another story.
Yes.
And a lot of gossip there. Right. But people will say, oh, her music sounds so Brahmsian. And I'm like, well, she wrote it when he was 13 years old.
Exactly.
You know,
who came
his
first?
Music, yeah, her music came first.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this album is going to be available at some point. This brand new CD.
Right, so this is the CD, a CD of my 1995 recording. I recorded it with Tom Jurodek.
Right.
Who's from Cannon Beach.
Yep.
And we recorded it at the Performing Arts Center here in Astoria.
All right.
And so at this point, it's available on through my website, which is just jennifergoodenberger.com. It will be available in the next couple weeks through CD Baby, which you can also reach through my website, but we're still...
negotiating.
Well, you know, it just takes every while, you know, it's
right.
However long it takes them to get it ready.
More fun to go to Jennifer's website.
Oh, yes,
actually.
And see the other seven recordings
exactly.
that I have.
Exactly. I was
yes.
going to say, I very often, I keep telling her this, I go to sleep with her music, not because it's boring, but because she created an album specifically for that. It was partially for, had to do with hospice. And
right, and just relaxation.
Breathe
deep.
Peace. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's right by my bed, and I often put that on, and it works. So I think this is going to wake me up.
It's a little bit of, you know, it is definitely classical, but mm-hmm. it fits with the kind of genre that I play myself, which is relatively quiet, but sensitive.
You have like 4 seconds to tell us about
your
I just want to quickly hear what you're doing in your own music right now. Are you composing it all right now?
Not at the moment, okay. Not too much, but...
Okay, and Jennifer mm-hmm. is also a painter and also a textile artist.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see her work all over the place. Go to her website, jennifergoodenberger.com, and check it out.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
And congratulations.
Thank
this
you.
Is a gem. I'm excited.
Thank